right beat.
Hi there. This is Randy Stone. I cover the night beat for the Daily. Stories start in many different ways. This one began in the neon glare of a milk bar and ended in the shadow of the gallows. The night may be full of laughter, but it's also full of tears. Only you can't hear the tears. Not when they're deep in the hearts of a boy and girl searching for enchantment on the steps of a squalid tenement. Not when they're stilled forever in the breast of a pretty girl lying dead in an alleyway. These are my stories. Perhaps you wouldn't like to walk the streets of the darkened city looking for them as I do. But you like to read about them. Maybe for the sense of relief they give you because they didn't happen to you. It didn't take me long to find my story tonight. I walked that part of town where the milk bars are crowded with crew-cut youngsters in blue jeans and white T-shirts, and their sallies and sweaters. Ahead of me was Louie's milk bar, the capital of Bodgy Land. The jukebox blared and the garish neon gave a gaudy false cheer. I could hear one voice raised over the others, a boy, 16, maybe 70. He was almost crying with anger as he offered to take on 6'7" taunting bodgies surrounding him.
Come on, put him up and fight, you mugs. I'll take on the lot of you.
Yeah, you take the gun.
Yeah, put a gun just like an old man.
Yeah, yeah, properly shed us in the back like he did.
Shut up, lousy tramps. Cop this.
The kid led into the mob surrounding him. He was one against seven, but he knocked two of the toughs flat before one tackled and downed him from the rear. The other started kicking. Fat Louie, the milk bar proprietor, waddled from behind the bar.
Call it the cops! Somebody call it the cops! Stop up the police! Oh, my eye! You broke my eye! Oh, my jukebox! Police!
The boy was down again, taking terrific punishment from three bodgies on top of him.
Hey, beat it, the cops!
Come on, let's get out of here!
All right. Drag it up.
Officer, come here, Mr. Officer.
Stand back. Drag it up. Well, Randy, don't tell me you're going in for street fighting.
Hello, Murphy. No, it's a kid here.
I want you to arrest this boy. He hit my eye and just look at my beautiful jukebox. She's the best.
Here, give me a hand with the kid, Randy.
Okay.
Come on, son. Up you get.
Leave me alone. I can get up.
Nah, lads, I don't have any more trouble. What's your name?
I ain't talking. Flatfoot.
What's his name, Louis?
All I know is he's a curly. But you take him to jail, quick. This is bad for the business.
The kid just stood there. Bleeding, sullen.
Ah, here is the letter. It fell out of his pocket in the fight. His name is Brown. Brown something.
Brownell.
Give me that, you greasy whoop.
The kid snatched the letter from Louie and ducked.
Here,
come back here.
Wait, Murphy. Did you see the name on that letter? Robert Brownell, Jr.
Huh? You mean he's...
I think he's Robert Brownell's son. They were tormenting him about his father. You can't blame him for blowing his top.
What is it, huh?
Poor little beggar. They're hanging his old man tonight.
Leaving the milk bar with a promise to Louie to take care of the damage, I went looking for Curly. I crossed the street, headed towards a section of cheap rooming houses and dimly lit alleys. Slumped against a brick wall, his face buried in both his hands, misery in every line of his bruised body, was Curly. I went up the dark alley towards him. Curly.
Yeah?
How you feeling, son?
Beat.
You live around here?
Yeah. My dump's just up the street.
How about this? We stop at a chemist's, go up to your place, and I'll fix up your face.
Look, don't do me any more favors. Just beat it. I've got to be alone tonight.
You want to be alone, but maybe I don't. You see, I knew your father, Curly, when he wrote sports for the old Daily. Come midnight, I'm going to feel pretty bad, too.
You're a reporter.
Yes, but I'm not looking for a story that will do your father harm. He was a great guy. All except once in his life.
Great guy. He was a drunk and a no-oper. And he shot a guy just like they said. I hate him. I ain't gonna cry at midnight. I'm gonna laugh and laugh because he'll be dead.
Somehow I felt those words didn't ring true. Maybe he did hate his father. And maybe this was just his way of crying. We picked up some collodion at the chemist's, then, just down the street, Curly led me up the steps of a dreary-looking house.
We gotta keep quiet. I don't want to see the landlady.
Curly shut the door noiselessly, and we slipped along the threadbare carpet. Suddenly, a door burst open.
Curly! Curly, that's you, Curly?
Yes, Mrs. Cole.
Well, you got my rent?
No, I get paid tomorrow. I'll have it for you at tea time.
Oh, and who's going to pay you, may I ask?
The milk bar where I work.
Listen, young man, I checked up on you. You was fired out of that job as soon as they found out who you were. They don't want no murderer's son selling ice cream to customers. It makes them nervy.
Shut up,
you! I warned you, if you didn't have the rent, out you'd go. I meant it. If you aren't out of here first thing in the morning, I'll have the police throw you out.
Charming little woman.
Yeah.
We climbed the creaking stairs. A gas ring, an ice box, two beds in a dingy room. One was fresh and undisturbed. The other bed looked like it hadn't been made for weeks. Curly sank down on the unmade bed. Thrown across it was a purple dressing gown trimmed in yellow, a prize fighter's robe. Do you do some fighting?
I do, and I can get the bouts.
The kid could make a fighter, all right. He was compact, hard, with movements like a dancer's. You doing any fighting now?
Fat chance I'd have with all that stuff in the papers about me old man. You heard Mrs. Carl say how they booted me out of me job at the milk bar.
People forget. But I knew the kid was right. People don't forget about murder. While the kid went out to take a shower, I looked around the room. On a table in the corner was a stack of letters addressed to Robert Brownell, Sr., care of the prison. They had all been returned to Curly. Unopened. The kid came back, got into fresh clothes. I started work on the lacerations on his square, rugged face. While I worked, I thought about the tough spot the kid was in. Broke. Going to be kicked out in the street. An idea began to form in the back of my head.
What time is it?
Just after 10.
2 more hours.
Mm-hmm, 2 hours. How does your eye feel now?
Fine. Look, you go now if you want to. I'm okay. I've got to get out of here and get some money.
Oh.
There are ways.
Like sticking up a milk bar, like bashing and rolling somebody in the park?
That's 2 ways. Maybe I'll lock the radio. I've done it before. But I got to hear the news tonight.
Look, Curly, do you mind talking about your father? How does he seem?
I ain't seen him.
You haven't gone to see him?
I went. Every day for weeks and weeks. He wouldn't see me. Even sent back my letters unopened. Even the cigarettes I bought and mailed came back.
That hurt, didn't it, Curly?
No! He don't care nothing about me. Well, I don't care anything about him. I used to think he liked me. He'd go with me to train. Sometimes get in the ring with me. He was that proud the first time I licked him. Oh, I just imagined he was proud of me. He didn't really care a hang. He didn't care a darn.
He sat motionless, his eyes blank. I knew where his mind was. Out there in that cell where his father waited. Why do you think your father wouldn't see you, Curly?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I did something or said something or what. I just wanted to help him, be with him as much as I could before. Now tonight they're going to hang him. And I never even got to say goodbye.
All at once he was crying. He rolled over on his face on the bed. Look, Curly, if I could arrange it, would you like to see your father? He sat bolt up on the bed.
If I could just have a minute with him to say goodbye.
Right. You stay here. I'll be right back. Now keep your mind off your father as much as you can. Here, I'll turn on the radio. I'll beat it down the street and call Warden Thomas. I'll make this short and snappy, Warden Thomas. I know you're busy out there tonight. It's about Brownell. He's got a son, 16 or 17. He's never seen his son since he gave himself up, even returns his letters unopened.
I know all that, Randy.
Well, I've been with the kid all evening. He's more than just cut up, believe me. He's at the crossroads of his life. Brownell can save his son or condemn him to a life that may end like his own. I've got to talk to him.
Randy, I can't let you talk to Brownell tonight. Why, according to the law, his execution must take place as soon after midnight as it can be done.
If you need an okay from the governor, my editor can get it. After all, the Daily just about put him in office.
No, I've got the authority to do it. It's just that... Oh, all right, Stone. If you give me your word that it may keep the kid from ending up here, I'll let you see Brown. But get out here fast.
Thanks, Warden. We'll be right out. There's no chance of the execution being earlier.
Not a chance in the world.
Back at the house, blousy Mrs. Cole came to answer my ring.
Yeah? What do you want? Oh, it's you. I hear they just hung him.
What?
Curly's father. They just hung him. Come over the radio.
It's not true. I just talked to the warden.
Well, the radio said...
The radio said... The kid. I've got to get to him. Quick.
Well, there's no need to knock me down.
The door to Curly's room was locked. I knocked hard. Curly! Curly, open the door! There was no sound. Suddenly, I became aware of a smell. I knelt, sniffed under the crack of the door. Gas! Curly! Curly, can you hear? I drew back, threw all my weight against the door. There on the floor lay Curly. The gas ring hissed like a snake. I turned it off, kicked out a window. I picked the kid up in my arms and carried him into the hall. A note fluttered from his chest. I called to Mrs. Cole to get a doctor. Then I began working on the kid, slapping his face, calling him. Curly! Curly! Curly, can you hear me? He's not dead. The radio report was wrong. I know he's not dead. I just talked to the warden. And Curly, there's every chance in the world now that you'll get to see your father. To say goodbye.
You are listening to Night Beat.
Before the doctor arrived, the kid came to. Mrs. Cole and I got him downstairs and out into the open air. He was dazed, had a terrific headache, but he was all right. His first question, after I'd explained that the radio report was an error, was about the time. 10:30. An hour and a half, and Curly's father would hang by the neck until dead. We didn't wait for the doctor. There wasn't a second to lose. I hailed a cab, and we went to the prison. I talked to the warden and asked to see his father alone.
The other press boys are going to be pretty sore about this, Randy. You've got to be careful about what you write. I try to get everybody an equal chance on news breaks.
The news angle is secondary, warden. It's the kid. What did Brownell say?
He doesn't want to see the boy. But I convinced him, and it took some talking, that he ought to hear what you have to say about the kid. I'm having Brownell brought in here.
Still won't say who the man was he killed or why he killed him?
Not a word. And he doesn't intend to either.
Well, the police have certainly had no luck identifying the man he killed.
Well, there's nothing to go on. Brownell confessed he just walked into a hotel room and shot a man. A man with no luggage, registered under the name of Smith. When Brownell was good and certain he was dead, he called the police and pleaded guilty to murder in the first degree.
There was no chance he wasn't guilty, but he was protecting someone else?
He has confessed that he's guilty, that he killed a man. Well, you might as well go in and see him and get it over.
Warden Thomas pressed a button on his desk, sat back in his chair, reflectively smoking a long, thin cigar. The jailer came in. Thomas gave instructions for Brownell to be brought to him. Without talking, we waited 3-4 minutes. Brownell came into the room. If he was worried about what was to happen to him in less than an hour, he surely gave no sign. Thomas offered him a cigarette, told him to sit down. Then the warden walked over to the window and stared out through the bars at the rain, which had begun to fall. He managed to give the impression he was not there without leaving the room. You know why I've come, Brownell?
The warden said it was about Curly.
I found him tonight knocking the tar out of 7 bodgies who made a crack about you. They about killed him. I took him home, fixed him up.
Thanks, Stern.
He's broke, Brownell. Been fired because they found out he's your son. Now he's being kicked out of your room for not paying the rent. What's to become of your son, Mr. Brownell?
17. Strong and he's smart. You can't starve to death in this country.
You can if they won't give you a job because your father's a murderer.
Is that the way it is?
That's the way it is. Oh, he'll get money, all right. He'll go hungry for a few days, sleep in the park. Then he'll develop a good, healthy hatred for society. He'll hold up a petrol station or bash an old lady and steal a purse, and he'll end up here. A second-generation graduate from Warden Thomas's School for Naughty Boys.
I don't want that.
You could have fooled me. You've acted like that was exactly what you wanted.
Well, what... what is it you have to suggest?
I suggest you leave your son a packet of dough.
I haven't a cracker, Stan. Even my insurance doesn't cover death from a necktie.
The Daily will pay Curly plenty. For your story of the man you killed.
No.
You've got an hour. I'll take your story down in shorthand, print it exactly as you want it.
No, Stan.
Listen to me, Brownell. Your son can fight, I've seen. But he can never fight in this country. Not in the shadow of his father swinging from a gallows.
Shut up, Stone.
With the money you can leave him, he can get out of the country, go abroad, change his name, and he can train there. By the time he's old enough for the big time, nobody will ever associate him with the embryonic little tough who disappeared the day after his father was hanged.
You think Curly can fight?
You're one of the best sportsmen in the country. What do you think?
I know he can fight.
Well, then, send him to fight in a country where he won't have your name to live down.
Stone, I will not tell you or anyone else why I killed that man. But this I will say. He deserved to be killed. He wasn't fit to live. It was my duty to kill him, and I did it. Deliberately, intentionally, carefully. I knew what I was doing, and I haven't any excuse. At least I haven't any excuse that satisfies the law. Well, I'm going to pay for it. That's all there is to it. And I will not write about it for your newspaper, even to save my son.
Okay, if that's the way you want it.
It's hardly the way I want it. It's the way it has to be.
Well, at least see him. Let him say goodbye. Maybe you know some words that will straighten him out. I don't.
I didn't think about how he'd have to suffer merely for bearing my name. There is perhaps something I can do about that.
You'll see, Curly. Brownell nodded without speaking. Warden Thomas had already gone to the door and was speaking to the guard outside.
Has the boy been searched?
Yes, sir.
Well, you can bring him in.
Brownell sat in silence, staring at the floor.
Hello, son.
Hello, Pop.
Here, Curly, take my chair.
I'll just stand, thanks.
I moved over to the window and stood beside the warden. The kid couldn't look at his father. He just stood before him, clenching and unclenching his fists with their scarred knuckles. When Brownell spoke, there was a new huskiness to his voice. Suddenly I realized how deeply moved he was. And just how much control and guts he had.
Go on. Sit down, Curly. I see you've been in a fight.
Yeah.
Did you win?
Well, they ran away.
I hear you were fighting about me. What did they say?
Nothing much. Just something, you know, something I didn't like.
They said you were a murderous son. Didn't they, Curly? Didn't they?
Yeah.
You're going to beat up everybody who ever says that?
I'm going to kill anybody who ever says anything bad about you. Oh, Pop, why wouldn't you see me? Why don't you send my letters back?
Curly, I wanted to be dead to you the minute I gave myself up. I wanted you to hate me. Better that than think me a martyr and want to copy me.
I could never hate you. I'm your son, and I ain't ashamed. I ain't ashamed.
But you're... you're not my son, Curly.
Hey?
Now listen to me carefully, and don't interrupt, Curly. There isn't much more time. You're not my son. Your mother, that is your stepmother, I took you when you were 8 weeks old. Your real mother died when you were born, and your father, he went away. In fact, he's dead too now. He died in New Guinea during the war. It's one of those funny coincidences. I ran into him up there the very day he died. I saw it happen. We were at an advance post, and all of a sudden the Japs broke loose with everything they had in the way of long-range artillery. Well, we dived for a jeep, see? Only one man got hit. Your father went back to get him. Picked him up and carried him 10 yards through bursting shells. And just before they reached cover, the biggest of the lot exploded square in front of him. There's nothing left of either of them. Not even an identification tag. If an officer had seen it, it'd have been a decoration for you to keep. It, like so much, it went unnoticed.
My real father died in New Guinea?
If you don't believe me, why, just write to the War Department. They'll tell you your father was missing in action in New Guinea. So now, you see, Curly, there's no need for you to fight anybody for what they say about me. Your father didn't die a murderer. He died a hero, defending our country.
I can't think. I can't understand. You're the only pop I know. You're the only father I want.
Well, look, I think that in view of what's going to happen in just about half an hour, that it'd be better for you to take your real name. It's a good one.
What is it?
Richard Bradford, Jr. Only you don't need the Jr. now that your father's dead. I don't have any birth certificate for you, or even any adoption papers, for it was never done legally. But Randy can use this story in his column, and everybody will know. You keep the paper and you show it to anyone who says you're a murderer's son. It'll be right there in the newspaper. And you know how people believe what they read. You'll do that, won't you, Randy?
I'll have to verify your story with the War Department.
You'll find that a man named Richard Bradford really was missing in action in New Guinea.
And how do I know he was Curly's father?
You don't. You print my statement. Make it my story, not yours.
I'll do it.
And you'll help Curly get some fights?
I'm sure I can do that. And I think when I talk to the editor, I can get Curly a job in the stockroom at the paper, starting even tonight.
Now, I think you'd better go. Only a few more minutes. I kind of think I'd like to spend them alone.
All right, Bob.
Not Bob. No, never, never, as long as you live, think of me as Bob. Just call me Bob.
Goodbye, Bob.
Goodbye, Richard.
AM deadline time. I've got to finish my piece and pop it into the slot. Robert Brownell paid the price for murder at 12:07 tonight. He paid it, and he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid because he figured when he faced God, that fella he killed would be there too. And when God heard the whole story and both sides of it, which we never heard and never will, well, I guess Brownell was willing to take his chances along with the other fella. We were in the back of the cab at 12:07. Curly, or Richard, huddled in his corner and cried. Cried for the last time like a little boy. You can't live through what he has tonight and not become a man. Right now, he's at work downstairs in the stockroom. His heart is aching and so is his back, but by morning he'll be so sick and tired he'll sleep.
What of the man named Richard Bradford Sr.? Was he really Curly's father? Or was Brownell lying to give his son a new name? I don't know. According to the War Department, a man by that name was missing in action in New Guinea. And according to human nature, dying men don't lie. Without very good reason. Copy, boy.